So my name is Kirsi-Marit Lehto, like Tuula nicely introduced, and I come from Tampere University Faculty of Medicine and Health Technology Environmental Health Research Group, which we established 3 years ago. And I used to work at the International Health Research Group, and we had a lot of African projects, mainly in Malawi. All kind of nutrient supplement projects, which I took the microbiology part on those. And now we are concentrating on environmental health, and our main focus is nowadays this kind of wastewater surveillance. And we are looking for coronavirus, but also other viruses, and even for virus X, so the next possible pandemic. And we are mainly working with the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare, so this THL, if somebody is familiar. And unfortunately, I have to sit here that I'm staying on the camera because I mainly walk around, so I think it's better now to sit down so I can be, but I hope that you are able to hear me clearly. Today's topic is climate change and health, and like Tuula mentioned, very this kind of topical issue what we are dealing here, and in the end of the lecture I really would like to hear more where you are from and how climate change has affected your personal life or your country in general. So hopefully we are able to get some discussion as well. Like we all possibly have heard, a lot of and maybe sometimes too much about climate change, but unfortunately it is here. So this Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, this IPCC, has concluded that to avert this catastrophic health impacts and prevent millions of climate change related deaths, the world must limit temperature rise to 1.5. Well, unfortunately, on Monday evening news, Petteri Taalas, this World Meteorological Institute secretarian, just said that we are already ending to the 2 degrees, and we are melting the icebergs, and the sea level is going to rise. So it's going to happen. And with this kind of acting like what we are nowadays doing, we can't help it anymore. The matter is nowadays that what we are doing now, so how does the continent extreme weather conditions, how bad they will be? Because these past emissions have already made a certain level of global temperature rise and other changes to the climate inevitable. And so even though the situation is already quite critical, but every additional tenth of degree has a huge impact. So that is always what we supposed to keep in our mind. Climate change affects health in many ways. So directly, indirectly, and through control measures. Often these effects are, of course, very difficult to predict. And there are a lot of independent variables, and the effect chains are often very, very complex and difficult to understand. And these kind of health effects of climate changes have been studied considerably less than, for example, effects on ecosystems. And yes, it's true that the majority of countries identify health as a priority sector vulnerable to climate change, but a huge finance gap still remains, because less than 2% of multilateral climate finance goes to health projects. So, of course, this is a very sad news. And here you are able to see in this figure some social and economic impact of climate change. And like I mentioned, unfortunately, this cost of adapting coastal areas to rising sea levels is already happening. And therefore, there have to be a relocation of whole towns and concerns a lot of people. And of course, this is affecting shrinking productivity of harvests, climate change prices of basic foodstuffs and consumer goods will rise. And then this extreme phenomena, meteorological, will cause widespread poverty, and also diseases will spread, of course, due to the higher temperatures. Fresh water is already in short supply, and this will become more common. There might be more wars even because of the climate change, and in the northern globe, loss of capacity to work due to heat, what we have been seeing already during this summer, for example, for the first time here also in the North globe. So it can be said that the climate change is the biggest health threat facing humanity. And like I mentioned, there are a lot of effects, how climate change affects the social and environmental determinants of health, like clean air, this safe drinking water, food, and also shelter issues. And according to WHO's World Health Organization's estimate, as a result of climate change, additionally, 250 people are at risk of dying each year from diseases like malaria, diarrhea, childhood malnutrition, and heat-induced health problems during 2030 and 50. And the direct damage costs to health, excluding costs, for example, in agriculture and water and sanitation, are estimated to be US $2 to $4 billion per year by 2030. So huge effects in every scale. And here are then some pathways how climate change will affect which factors are involved, and what organizations are affected and how. And of course, we are mainly interested in health outcomes, like these waterborne diseases and other water-related health impacts and different kind of zoonoses, like we have faced in a couple of years, and also with these vector-borne diseases. So there are a lot of different kind of factors and pathways involving in that. And I will then tell you a little bit more about waterborne infectious diseases, which is close to my heart especially. So unfortunately, climate change can endanger the quality of drinking water, of course, and because it will increase in precipitation, and there will be more nutrient and microbial leaching. There will be more heavy rains, which is causing problems for sewage plants. Drought can also increase impurities in the water. Then this global warming is increasing growth of microbes, for example, in water systems, and warming of surface waters will a growth of algae, for example. There will be storms, other extreme weather conditions, which is then causing power outages and other malfunctions. And of course, floods will be the problem because they promote the absorption of pollutants into the groundwater, and also in the northern globe, mild winters will increase the contamination of groundwater also during the winter time. Then a little bit about vector-borne infectious diseases. The climate affects the host animals, insects, and even to pathogens. And this is a very complex cycle. Climate change can affect the occurrence of diseases spread by these arthropod insects. Changes in the nesting areas of these migratory birds can affect, for example, to the spread of viral diseases, and even new diseases will spread to new territories, or many times going to the northern globe. And some diseases then can spread directly from mammals and may come more common, for example, as bees come more common and they are then increasing this increase as well. Adaptation is facilitated by a high level of infectious diseases tracking system, and that is why sharing information to citizens about ways to avoid all kind of these increased risks are highly important. And that is what we can do with this situation. Then it might have some effects on foodborne health hazards as well, like infectious diseases, especially salmonella, might become more common. Mold toxins from cereal crops might have very high effect on food security, and then pesticides, pesticide residues may increase. And a little bit more about floods, storms, and other these kind of extreme water water phenomena. They will be more common, increasing. So these have then effect on electricity, heat, and water outages, of course. And many industries are highly responsible for adapting the infrastructure. Preparation is, of course, highly important for social and healthcare institutions as well. And also individual citizens should also be prepared more carefully. How then climate change is linked to inequality? Unfortunately, climate warming is the first to threaten the poorest people whose adaptation possibilities are the weakest. And most of the times, those countries and people contribution to global warming is the smallest in the same time. So of course, this is not kind of the equal pattern. Global warming also increases economic inequality between the global south and north. And among other things, the economic risks of warming, especially threaten countries with subtropical and tropical climates. Well, this was very bad news, unfortunately, but of course, there's always ways to try to either to minimize or mitigate. And that's how the experts come to the picture. And experts have a huge role on this in different fields. So mitigation of climate change, and of course, in addition to reducing own emissions as possible, experts should communicate even more strongly to the decision makers about the necessity of quick and strong climate actions based on the climate risks to people's well-being. And then minimization of adverse effects through adaptation measures is another way where also experts play a very significant role in identifying and preventing the accumulation of inequality related to the consequences of climate change. So it's not, game is not over yet, but we have to work even harder now when we really have faced the climate change. So there, the evidence is pretty obvious. And more about these mitigation measures, there are a couple of examples. For example, systems to produce, package, and distribute food generate a third of greenhouse gas emissions. And more sustainable production could prevent close to 11 million premature deaths a year, which is quite a big amount, I think. Then transportation, which produces around 20% of global carbon emissions. And the value of health gains from reducing carbon emissions would be approximately double the global cost of implementing carbon mitigation measures. So these are the examples that might give you some kind of ideas of doing something different in personal or in your professional life, for example. And there's always ways of have effect if we only would like to do that. Then more about the adaption measures. Experts' role is to monitor the effects of weather and climate and also react to them as well, and to improve citizens' awareness of climate change caused by changes in health risks and the ability to react. And of course, all the time, whatever we are doing to protect health and avoid widening health inequalities. And also, which is highly important, that countries must build climate resilient health systems. And then, especially in the water sector, water supply is especially required to adapt to the new climate and to the extreme weather conditions. And climate change also affects not only the drinking water, but the recreational use of waters, like water epidemics, abundance of blue-green algae, and this sea-related Vibrio cholera. Then some wrap-up about climate and health. So we can probably all agree that climate change is the single biggest health threat facing humanity. And the impacts are already harming health through many ways, like air diseases, weather conditions, forced displacements, food insecurity, and also, which we won't many times think about, pressures on mental health as well. And this is why every year environmental factors take the lives of around 13 million people already. And as the climate warms, there are many diseases like malaria, dengue fever, and the West Nile virus, which can spread to new areas. And areas with this weak health infrastructure will be the least able to cope, at least without assistance, to prepare and respond, which is highly essential. We have to all the time keep in mind that reducing emissions of greenhouse gases through, for example, better transport, food, and energy use choices can result in improved health, particularly through this reduced air pollution, which is a big problem in many parts of the world. And meeting with the goals of the Paris Agreement could save about 1 million lives a year worldwide by 2050 through reductions in air pollution alone. But we, of course, all should apply that. So, thank you very much for your attention.